All right, back on the post game. So I've been meaning to say this a whole second hour, as usual. Edwin gets it right. Jay Sekulow, the guy who I did the story about, mm-hmm, with the nonprofit charity, and who's Trump's lawyer. That's the guy that I famously yelled at in Mad as Hell and told him to shut up.
Oh, really?
And we had that huge debate that's featured in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, should I tell him to shut up or not?
That was Sekulow, really?
That was Sekulow.
Wow, man.
I found
that.
Yeah, and that prick wound up becoming the president's lawyer.
Wow.
Oh, so depressing. And Edwin found the clip for Andrew to feature in the movie. And it turns out we had taken that clip off of YouTube. So we're going to find it and we're going to give it to you guys since you're members. Okay, how cool is that? The actual interview where I tell him to shut up. And boy, and I, at the time, I didn't even know the scams he was running. Boy, did he have that coming. And Christians, you're welcome. Okay, now I was led to believe that you had a fun post game for us.
Yeah.
Oh, the epiphanies.
Yeah. I don't know if it's fun, but it's an epiphany that I think might, you know, speak to some of the challenges that people are facing today in this rat race society that we have to exist in. Okay, so I asked my former journalism professor, who inspired me the most, to meet with me yesterday in the morning for coffee. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like, you know, she like impacted my life so much when I was in college, and I felt like a little lost in a lot of ways, like about my career and just a bunch of stuff. I was kind of.
God, you're such
Just relax.
What is it? Worry wart, wart, something about Nelly, nervous Nelly.
I'm a worry wart for sure.
Okay.
Anyway, so she was like, yeah, absolutely. And I'm really curious because I know she follows what we do, right? And I don't know why this is always in the back of my head, but I care about making her proud. Like, I really, really do.
That's sweet in a lot of ways. God,
and so I was like, is she proud of me? Like, what does she think? Like, what does she think about what's going on? You know, and things have gotten so divisive and so terrible and whatever. So anyway, we got together, and I told her I feel lost, mm-hmm, and I don't like my career is a big part of my identity. And for the first time ever, this is the first time you're hearing this, so I don't know how you're gonna feel.
Uh-oh.
But for the first time ever, I feel like there are more days where I don't enjoy my job versus days where I do, right?
Trumps.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm panicking because I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know what this means. I don't know if it's just a passing, you know, it's something that'll pass, whatever. And so she shared her experience working as a journalist, and I didn't know this. I thought she worked for local papers, but she actually ended up working for the New York Times.
Hmm.
And when she was working for the New York Times, in her 40s, she hated it, absolutely hated it. And mm-hmm, she was like, it was all about the business. It was all about the bottom line. It was about covering the stories that would, you know, increase circulation. And it was, you know, very male dominated, and, you know, she just despised it. And she kept telling herself, like, I wish I can quit, I wish I can quit, I wish I can quit. And then finally one day she quit without having anything lined up, okay? Which I think is so ballsy, but she did it. And she said, like, sometimes like life is serendipitous. And if I had planned to be where I am today, and you know, she's a chair of a journalism department at a university, you know, mm-hmm, she's very, you know, successful and everything. She's like, if I had planned for it, it wouldn't have happened, you know? And so she said, you know, she came across a woman that she knew who really liked her and asked, hey, are you willing to teach this one journalism class? She taught this one journalism class, and then that turned into this whole academic career. And then, you know, she's inspired so many people that she taught. And then now here she is, chair of a journalism department, and she continues to inspire, and I absolutely love her. And then but it was interesting because she told me her life story. And then she looked at me and she's like, you can't give up. She's like, you need to keep doing what you're doing. And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, but I feel like I'm not contributing anything to society. In fact, I feel guilty. Like, sometimes I feel like maybe I'm adding to the division, and I don't want to do that, you know? And I was like, I've been there for 10 years, and look at where we are as a country. And I don't, it's not that I feel completely responsible for where we are as a country, but I feel like.
Yeah, Anna, why'd you give us Trump?
But I feel like, you know, if I had genuinely had a positive impact on society, then like, why are we here today? You know, with all these terrible things that are happening. And anyway, so that's.
I have new nicknames for us.
Okay, what?
Okay, half full, half empty. Okay, you're not gonna like those nicknames, but
yeah.
Okay, so let me explain why. I'll address everything you said.
And I haven't gotten to the epiphany yet, but okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Anna, yeah, Trump won. That doesn't mean we didn't affect anyone, right? Like 80% of millennials are progressive. We had that really nice guy come up to us at VidCon and said, you guys moved a generation. Now, that's way too strong and not true. But bless his heart, some people think that. And I think that we helped a little. We helped a little in doing that. So, and the future is ours. The future is female, Anna. So we're at a temporary moment here, which I think is the, you know, they say the calm before the storm. I think this is the storm before the calm. And I don't, it's never gonna be calm. Let me just keep it real, okay? But I think things are gonna get, I think there's gonna be a bigger storm, and then it gets better from 2020 on. I hope, I believe, okay? I believe it with all my heart, though. I think that progressives are gonna win, and the demographics are on our side. We just gotta clean up the Democratic Party. If we did, we'd win like gangbusters, right?
Yeah, and look, I agree with you on that. I mean, look, California, I'm sure a lot of you have already read Sirota's incredible piece about what happened with healthcare in California, how the vast majority of Californians, of course, a deeply blue state, want single payer, and the corporate Democrats in the state fought tooth and nail to block that from happening, right? So absolutely, you're right. We do need to defeat the corporate Democrats. However, you know, I think that there are people who unfortunately take that a little too far. Right? And when I say too far, not take it too far in terms of going after corporate Democrats, but take it too far in terms of going after people like Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren for not being good enough, right?
Yeah, and so going after people who aren't necessarily corporate Democrats.
Right, exactly. And so look, here's what the reality is with politicians, okay? Yeah. The vast majority of them are bad, and they've been bought by the corporate world, and they don't actually represent us. But there are still a few good apples, right? Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, to me, are the few good apples left. And they're not perfect. Elizabeth Warren, not perfect, believe me. Believe me. But I defended her in previous postgame shows. But if you want purity tests and you want like a perfect politician, hate to break it to you, it's never gonna happen. It will literally never happen.
Okay, you're over focused on the minority. So it's a couple of things. Like, so you're worried you're not doing any good in the world. So let's take the Jason Chaffetz video from today as an example. So I view every video we do as a message in a bottle. And in the old days, you do put a message in a bottle, and if you were super lucky, it would reach some other shore and one person would read it. Whoop-de-doo, right? Our messages go in, you know, around 100,000 bottles, and you know, and that's actually lower than our average, right? And 100,000 people receive them, and they watch them, and we've sent waves of bottles, one after another after another, and at some point somebody's gonna watch that Chaffetz video, and go, yeah, wait a minute, how come when it's for the poor? They think nobody should ever get any help and they should get bootstraps. And when it's for the powerful, all of a sudden they want subsidy after subsidy, right? And look, all the people that have come up to me throughout all these years saying, I used to be conservative, I used to be evangelical Christian, I used to be Muslim, I used to be this, I used to be that, and you guys helped. I mean, how powerful is this? Every time I hear one of these, it makes everything we've ever done worth it. You liberated me. Right?
Yes, and believe me, I'm not sure.
And Anna,
I guess I focus way too much on the macro picture, right? And that's what's happening right now. Like, and it's not just the fact that we elected Donald Trump. It's everything that's come along with that, right? I'm noticing people turn their backs on progressivism. Like people that I've known and respected for such a long time, all of a sudden, you know, hate progressive ideology and they identify more with like right wingers. And it's like, what happened? Yeah. What happened? And it's just like, there's just a lot of weird things going on right now. And it's just discouraging. That's where I'm coming from. So that was one part of it.
Okay.
That was one part of it. And then the second part is, I'm too obsessed with A, making my career my identity, and B, wanting more. Like I want to be more successful. I want to achieve more things. And I feel like it's never going to be good enough. It's never going to be good enough. It's always going to be this rat race. I have a good job and I have like this huge responsibility every day to do my job responsibly, accurately. And I want to do that on top of additional things that I can't do. I can't do it, okay? And then when I don't succeed at those things, I get really hard on myself and I feel like a failure. And I say like the most horrendous things about myself to Christian. Yeah. To Christian. And he gets so angry with me. And like I need to stop. And so here's what my epiphany is, right? My epiphany is, I am gonna do my job here at TYT to the best of my ability. I am responsible for the second hour, sometimes, a lot of times the first hour as well, right? That is my responsibility, the main show, okay? All this other shit that I'm trying to do, fuck it, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm so obsessed with, I gotta go give speeches at colleges, and I wanna write a book, and I wanna do this, and I wanna do that, and I gotta do social media, and I gotta make sure I post this, and I gotta do Twitter, am I good enough on fuck all of it. Fuck all of it, okay? It's making me miserable. It's making me so goddamn miserable. I'm tired of meetings with management companies, okay? And agents who are like, oh yeah, you're like the next hottest thing and we're gonna get you in front of all these classes and you're gonna do all this fucking awesome shit. No, you're not. Stop blowing smoke up my ass. You're not gonna do dick for me. In fact, if I get an offer that you're not even fucking involved in, you're gonna come at me and you'll be like, where's my 12%? Fuck you and your 12%, bitch. I don't wanna do any of this shit anymore. I'm done. I do the main show, okay? That's it, that's good enough. I'm done. That's my epiphany.
Okay, wow, Edwin giving it to you.
Done.
Okay.
God, I feel good.
Okay, I am not done. So still come at me with the 12%. Okay, anyway, look, Anna, for number one, okay, calm down. You're like, you have the paradox of the successful person, right? Which is that what drives you to be successful is that you're never satisfied, which then leaves you never satisfied. Mm-hmm. So when you were saying, you know, you want to do more, I was thinking to myself, well, I can give you more work.
I know, Jake, like.
You know, be careful what you wish for. I know, make that happen for you.
Believe me, I know that you're willing to give me more work, right? But it's more. And look, I think that the same virus that affects multimillionaires and billionaires also affects people like me, but on a much smaller scale, right? So I have a decent salary. Like I'm comfortable, right? I'm fine. But I want to be more than fine, right? And so I think I got to a point where I just, to me, success meant more than being listed on Forbes or writing a book or whatever, or getting recognition. I think I got to a point where I was like, no, success is I have a paid off home and I have a ton of money in the bank and I get to travel wherever I want to travel. I don't want to be a millionaire. I mean, if I can, awesome, right? Mm-hmm. But it was more about like, I want to make a ton of money. And I just, the more I try, the more I fail at that. I just have to accept, at some point in your life, you just have to accept you're not gonna be rich, you know?
Just calm down with the rich or not rich. But you do have to know who you are, right?
Right.
So if you're not the person who's sensationalistic, you're not gonna be that person. Sometimes they'll get more flash than you, and that'll be frustrating. Mm-hmm. But you should be proud that you're not that person.
I know, and I'm not, and I can't do it. I can't do what Tommy Lauren does, right? Yeah. I can't do what Ann Coulter does. I can't. I can't lie to the audience, and I can't demonize people that don't deserve to be demonized. I want to do my job ethically. And when you do anything in the media, ethically, you're not going to be as famous, which I don't care about actually, and you're not going to make as much money, and that's fine. I just need to accept that.
Yeah, look, Anna, if a really smart person once told me, nobody needs two Ferraris.
Okay, I know,
well, the first one would be nice. No, it wouldn't. I actually would be super stressed out by a Ferrari. Anyway, no, and and we talked about this during one of the breaks, the Martin Shkreli story, Shkreli, mm-hmm. That like you said, you know, why is it always the douches or the assholes that get rich? Well, there's a reason for that. First of all, it's not true, of course. There's plenty of good people who made a decent amount of money, including your dad, right?
Right.
Who works super hard. My dad, who works super hard.
Alexis Ohanian, co-founder of Reddit. Like, I don't know why I always think of him, but he's just like such a stand-up guy. Okay. No, he's a stand-up guy, and he became wealthy because he had a good idea. So anyway.
Okay. Yeah. So, it is easier for assholes because Shkreli doesn't mind taking a drug that people need to save their lives. And moving the price up from $13 to $750. And he thinks if you die because you can't afford it, that's like your problem, man, and not my problem. So, and Trump, et cetera, the shameless will make more money. But you don't want, you're not that person.
No, I'm not that person.
You don't want to be that person.
No, and I don't
right.
want to be
that. So,
but like, I think that I had, and look, you can be a good person and become rich or whatever, right? But it's a lot harder and it's a lot more rare, I think.
Yeah,
and
it's
so,
way harder, definitely more rare, but actually to be fair, it's not even that, it's not as rare. Maybe for the super rich, but most of the rich people are actually probably good people because a lot of them are doctors,
yeah,
dentists.
That's true.
Right? And the list goes on and on, right? Even the douchey car dealers who listen to Rush Limbaugh, but still they didn't do anything wrong, right? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Anyway, look, the whole point of all of this stuff, and I'm sorry for venting and kind of going overboard, but the whole point is, like, sometimes you lose sight of what's important and you become a slave to success, to money, to all these things that, you know, at the end of the day don't really make you that happy. Like, when I think about the things that make me really happy, it's, you know, our random TYT dinners where we're like joking around and laughing, or we're having smart conversations, and I'm just like, man, I'm surrounded by really smart people that I enjoy. That's my job. That's my environment. That's awesome. Or moments where I'm like playing with Charlie and you know Christian at the park. Like, those are the moments that make me happy, and I need to go back to focusing on that and not being so obsessed with competing and comparing myself to other people and wondering why I didn't, you know, end up the way I imagined when I was like a 12-year-old. Like, that wasn't realistic, and it's okay, it's fine.
So it's funny because on my way out from the door, on my way out from the door today, as I'm leaving the house, I saw a little thing that Joy had written up in her preschool. And it is who she is, what she likes. Mm-hmm. She likes, her favorite colors are pink, purple, and rainbow. she likes her blankie, her pro, her brother, uh-huh. her mommy, this is in this order by the way, her mommy, her daddy, and Kiki Cat. Okay, I'm right above Kiki Cat. Anyway, and at the end, she would like to either be a policewoman,
oh, wow.
a teacher, or a helper. Now, teacher, helper makes sense. Those are the people in preschool, right? So those are the, and policewoman because she saw Zootopia. Okay, so Anna, sometimes we grow up and put childish things aside.
Yeah.
Right? So it's okay, it's okay. You've got a great, great life.
I know.
Enjoy
I know.
It, right? And one last thing from my end on that, you know, it's my new favorite Quranic statement. I don't mean to insult Muslims, but the only one I like so far from the Quran. No, there's other good things like help the poor and needy, just they're not that colorful. Maybe I haven't seen enough. Anyways, the one I like is, you know, if you save one person, you've saved all of mankind, okay? Mm-hmm. And so when you guys are great to us and you tell us that we helped you in some way, shape, or form in your life, that makes everything worthwhile and the rest is gravy. Right?
Yes.
Now, if we can help people on a mass scale and you know my grand ambitions, and I'm not less ambitious than you. I'm probably more ambitious than you, right? But it stresses me out on a daily basis as I have to grind through a lot of work and stuff. But I'm a happy warrior otherwise, and I got history on my side. And so if we can get an amendment, get the money out of politics, get democracy back, oh my God, everything else in the world is gravy on top of gravy. That's why I dream about running away, you know? Like we pass the amendment and I'm gone.
That'll right? never happen.
I'm gone, I'm in a cafe somewhere, you'll never find me again.
You know what? You should pitch it that way because I bet you'll get a bunch of your enemies on your side.
Maybe.
Right? They'll be like, "Oh man, we got to pass that amendment. Like, let's go to work."
Yeah. So, and I like money. I've said it 1,000 times. I don't like it for its own sake. Who gives a shit, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, you said during a break or on air, I forget. Like, who needs two houses? I'm like, two houses sounds lovely. Okay, you just don't want to scam your way there, then, because that's more stress and heartache. And you know, I would. Two houses are not nearly as important as the guilt you would feel, or at least we would feel, from being bad guys.
Yeah.
Right. You're right. Of course, no one needs two houses, right? So yeah, I'd like to be able to eat at nice restaurants, but I wouldn't sacrifice my peace of mind for it.
Right. Same.
Peace of mind, like you get the money for peace of mind. If your peace of mind is wrecked by how you got the money, then you defeated the whole point, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought you were going to talk about, when you said epiphanies, I thought we were going to talk about epiphafood.
No, but not today,
you
sorry.
You didn't go in that direction. But all right,
not as
guys.
Fun.
Are you kidding me? Epiphafood is like the best kind of epiphanies.
No, I meant my epiphany was not as fun.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Much love, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.